Vision Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear. Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. Today is September 28th, 2015. It's going to be an interesting day with the leaders of most major nations in the United States banging heads, saying things I guess they can't say over the telephone. Doesn't matter. The NSA will hear them anyways. So today is Nuclear Alert Monday, where I read the nuclear alerts. And this morning I was kind of bouncing around the NRC website. I wanted to remind people to please do. There are 382 comments received at the NRC, the comment section on the NRC. You go on to the comment section, you NRC.gov. They have a bunch of little drop-down menus, and there's one that you can says for public comment, and I want you to click on where it says linear no threshold model and standards for protection against radiation. And this is where we get to make our comments. It goes until November 19th. That's when the last comment is allowed. They extended it, I think, because they were getting too many comments saying we want to maintain the regular no threshold model, that Hormesis is a bunch of crap. So they want their little nuclear buddies to get in their conversations. So very important for us to continue to reach out to as many people as we can to get them to go to this website and make their comments here and make their comments known. This is a really big issue that they're trying to sweep under the rug. It actually speaks to the exact same thing that I was looking at this morning. Looking at what are they doing about the high-level waste? And this is really interesting. The NRC essentially gets paid to just do nothing. They kick around a lot of words. They use a lot of language. But if you look at what they've written about the high-level waste disposal, this has been a conversation. And Congress, when I read the documents, it looks like Congress has been after this since 2008, demanding that they do something. They really have no answers. That's really it. The Yucca Mountain licensing activity is really where they're going to plan on doing it. It makes you wonder, though, because they haven't done they don't anywhere in their page tell you where the high-level waste is. And really where the high-level waste is it's right next door to you. At the nuclear power plant right next door to you. And even if you don't live near a nuclear power plant, you are likely living near a dump site or downwind of one. So this is an issue that affects every single American. In fact, it affects every single person on this planet. So I wanted to Let's get to the news today, the NRC news. There was another page that I really, the other thing that I want you to look at when you go to the nrc.gov and really become familiar with this website, because this is how they get things done without anybody paying attention. They do it right in front of us, but nobody pays attention. It's not like they're hiding it. These are multi-billion-dollar facilities being built around us, and everybody thinks, oh yeah, I'm going to have a good job building a new nuclear reactor that is going to kill the planet, but at least I have a good job. So they are talking about new nuclear reactors here. They anticipate the activities will involve new light water reactor facilities in a variety of projected locations. And the projected locations are Callaway ER Unit 1 in Missouri, Bell Bend EPR Unit 1 in Pennsylvania, PSNG, these are the people running it, PSNG, two units will be built in New Jersey. North Anna ESBWR Unit 1 will be built in Virginia. At Harris, AP1000, two units will be built in North Carolina. And I can't tell if it's either, it's Lee Station AP1000, two units. There's no click on William Lee. That's where it says. It looks like it's in North Carolina. It's either North Carolina, but it's right on the border. The box where it's at is on the corner of North Carolina, South Carolina. Great, we got two of them in Florida, just waiting for the oceans to rise up. I can't believe this. This is unbelievable, you guys. Turkey Point, AP1000, two units. Levi County, AP1000, two units. I bet those congressmen are proud of themselves for bringing that money into the state. Belafonte in Tennessee, AP1000. River Bend, ESBW, one unit in Louisiana. Looks like it's probably close to Baton Rouge. South Texas, ABWR, two units. Grand Gulf, again in Mississippi, ESBWR, unit one. Thank God, nothing in Hawaii, nothing in Alaska. And of course, Comanche Peak, A USA PWR, USA Power, I think that's what it says. Two units right in the heart of Texas. So it's Comanche Peak. So they are planning new reactor applications under review are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. As this is how the NRC responds to Fukushima and responds to the leaks up at Hanford and the threats up at Columbia Generating Station. They're just pouring straight away ahead. They don't give a crap about human health or human safety at all, you guys, which is why we really have to push back. The new meme that radiation is just not that harmful is a complete lie. And we have millions of people in this country suffering from cancer, endocrine problems, physical disabilities, and it does affect your mental capacity. To be frank, it's very difficult to say, oh, that came from radiation exposure, because there has been no studies. This is how the nuclear industry, just like now with these new nuclear reactors with the public involvement, if you come here and you just look at where it says the rate high level waste disposal, low level waste disposal, I'm almost afraid to look at the low level waste disposal because in my view, I'm scared to death that they're going to tell us they're going to start putting it in our silverware, which is what one congressman proposed. That's what we could do with it. Just put it in our utensils and in our dishes and in our pots and pans, and that's how we could fix it. It's unconscionable, the lack of regard for the impact, the negative effects of the impact, and just the decision to just completely ignore the negative effects of radiation on the human population and the population of the other creatures on this planet is unconscionable. And we really have got to like get actively engaged, speak out against it, and push back against these people that are saying it's ridiculous that, you know, nobody's dying from radiation, that you guys are just being overly nervous, and that's old thinking. Well, the old thinking was based on real science, not the science that tests five fish in Fukushima and say there's just not that much radiation, because we've only tested five fish in the entire Fukushima prefecture, so that's how we're going to determine it. Although when they did test the five fish, all five of them did show up with radiation in them. So it's an unconscionable thing that we're living in, you guys. So let's get to the nuclear alerts. Let's start with today and we'll go backwards. We do know they kind of pile them back on, but this is today. There are four events. Event notification for September 28th. Report from September 25th through the 28th. Report number 51404 in Jenks, Michigan, J-A-N-X. That's who the licensee is. And it's in Parma, Michigan. And this happened, the event happened on 9/16 at 12:15. And this was a radiography camera source disconnect. While the licensee was performing radiography work in Twilight, West Virginia, a radiography camera source became disconnected and did not return to the shielded position. That spec 150 iridium 192 72 CI, I think that means Curie's, SN WHO 603. The West Virginia site called the corporate RSO at 200 on 9/17/2/15. Who then called a qualified Pennsylvania RSO in order to supervise source retraction. The qualified RSO verified boundaries at the 2 millirem level. The source was retrieved and placed in the shielded position. The camera was secured and is out of service. Thank God. Oh, we're so good. They're doing something. There was no indication of excessive dose. No indication whatsoever. Move along here. They have a lot of equipment that breaks, don't they, folks? I wonder who makes that equipment. Here's another one. Texas State Department of Health Services, Team Industrial Services, Inc. in Houston, Texas. Non-emergency. Radiography camera source disconnect. Again, another disconnect. Same thing. They had experienced a source disconnect at a temporary site in Galveston, Texas. Is that the same thing? No, that was West Virginia. Oh, my goodness gracious. It's the same thing. The RSO stated the crew was working inside a vessel using the QSA-880D exposure device containing 52.9 curies of iridium-192 source. The device fell from a distance of 30 feet and hit the floor of the vessel, so they dropped it. The source was in full shielded position when the device fell. The radiographers noted that the guide tube had a small kink in it and replaced the guide tube. The radiographers tested the source by cranking the source out, but when they attempted to retract the source, the drive cable did not stop at the rear outlet of the camera. The radiographers contacted their supervisors and performed a dose rate survey at their barrier. The dose rate was 1 millirem per hour. The individual qualified in source recovery was able to remove the source from the guide tube and place it in the drive cable. The source changer for storage, I beg your pardon. The RSO stated their inspection of the source cable was the connector of the drive cable had separated from the drive cable. Yeah, I think so, after being dropped 30 feet. No member of the general public received an exposure level due to this event, but it did mean... look at what it says. No individual received an overexposure as a result of the event. They got exposed, but I guess, you know, don't worry about it. You're fine. You didn't get exposed that badly. We fixed it pretty quickly. So when you get cancer in 30 years, it's not our fault. From Knopf Installation, here we are at the next one, folks. And this is event number 51408. And this is in Shelby, Indiana. Lost or stolen, Lost gas chromatograph source. When requested by the NRC, the licensee was unable to locate a 15 millicurie NI, I forgot what NI means, 63 source. The source was used in a Perkin-Elmer gas chromatograph, I can't say that, I apologize to you, electron capture detective. The licensee noticed the device may have been decommissioned, but a fire at their facility effectively destroyed all the records that could have been used to locate the source. So they had a fire there and something got lost with 15 millicuries of Ni63. Let me look up what that is, folks, really quick, because I can't handle that not knowing. It's the not knowing that's a pain in the neck. We got to get ourselves an education in chemistry, I guess. So thank God for the Googles. We can type in what is Ni63, and it's a radionuclide. We know that. What is it? Let's see, it'll tell us. Data sheet. Nickel. That's what it is. Nickel 63. And I guess we could find out how toxic it is if we wanted to pursue it. But let's leave that for the homework. Lost gas chromatograph source. So they lost it. They couldn't find it after the fire. That's basically the NRC said, where's this graph? And they're like, Mike, I don't know. Let's move on. Event number 51413. Texas. In Texas, LaPorte, Texas, what's it called? The non-emergency, unable to retract radiography source to the protected shield. These things are really, like, they completely break them all the time, it seems like. That the crews was unable to return the 63 curies of iridium-192 source to fully shielded position in an IR-100 exposure device. The licensee stated the radiographer made several attempts to use the crankouts to return the source to the shielded position, but the surveys indicated that the source was not fully shielded in the camera. Wow, and of course, it's a big, long paragraph, which I'll spare you the reading of, in which they realized that the thing was broken, and they moved it out while it was left it out in a locked position, essentially. The source was then fully retracted into the position in the new device. Okay. So nobody was hurt. No one got hurt. Don't worry about it. Again, no other individual received exposure that exceeded the limit. The service provider believes his exposure was approximately 300 millirems for that day. Wow. So that guy got seriously bombarded with radiation trying to fix it. The radiographer's trainer. Wow. That'd be a shock to go home that day from work that day, wouldn't it, folks, and say, guess what, honey, I think I've got radiation exposure to the point where I'm probably going to die in 10 years, no doubt, for sure. That's kind of a shock. Here we go. Event notification. This was for Friday from the 24th through the 25th. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 that they're talking about. This is in Kentucky. Department of Radiation Control from Everts, Kentucky. This happened event date on 3/10/2015, notification date 9/16. What? Oh, last updated 9/16. So I guess they reported this. The following was obtained from the Commonwealth of Kentucky via facsimile. This failure was not previously reported by licensee at RHB, Kentucky Radiation Health Branch, but recent inspection of the facility performed on 8/4/2015 showed that the defect was noted on 3/10/2015 during the six-month inventory and shutter check updates. So I guess they just decided they didn't need to tell the NRC. Huh. Equipment failure. On-off shutter mechanism on K-ray Sensol 7062BP with cesium-137, 100 millicuries, serial number 2975, fixed gamma gauge, has broken spring. Shutter is kept in open position by makeshift wire fastener. No release of radioactivity. Last leak test was on 3/19/2015. Showed MDA less than 5 NCI. I really think I'm going to have to take, as much as I don't really understand it, I'm going to have to take a some type of a chemistry class so I can understand this. Who thought we'd have to become radioactive experts? Huh, folks? I mean, honestly, when they told us Fukushima had this big explosion, honestly, I bought it hook, line, and sinker. I thought to myself, oh, thank God they had the seawater right there. They're handling it so well. If I had not had a nightmare and gone to the internet and really dug in to find out, I would be just like I was 5 years ago, just like millions of Americans are, thinking that the whole nuclear industry is doing, they're telling us the truth and they're helping us and they're trying to build a better future for us. Nothing could be further than the truth. They are covering their asses and working in an industry that demands complicity and silence. Every single person working in the nuclear industry has been coerced into silence. Because if not, you become, they find ways to get back at you and make your life miserable so that you can't work that and you can't work in the science. You can't be honest. So we have another event again in the state of Florida, Palatka, Florida, Georgia Pacific Corporation, of course. Licensee, and the Florida Bureau of Radiation Control was their organization they reported to. The RSO, the Radiation Safety Officer, that's what RSO means, folks, at Georgia Pacific Corporation in Palatka, Florida, called to report that a fixed cesium-137 source installed on the top half of a tank has the shutter stuck open. Oh my gosh. These things always stick open. What is wrong with these people? Who makes these products? The fixed gauge manufacturer is K-Ray, model number 7063P, serial number 10682F. Maybe we should write K-Ray and ask them why is their equipment constantly breaking? Because this is complete bullshit. And it's not cheap. It costs our government boatloads of money, no doubt. Let's see. There was no report of any overexposure of personnel and no leaks confirmed by a leak test. Whew, thank goodness for that, huh? Now the question is, do we really believe them? The RSO has put in a work order for repair and will provide a copy of the report confirming the equipment was serviced and repaired back in April. So he did that back in April. Thanks. Okay, this is probably the same one that I just read in Jenks, Michigan, in Parma, Michigan. 51404, yes, it is the source disconnect. Here was one. This is interesting. Alert declared due to a fire greater than 15 minutes outside of the facility. A fire, huh? Emergency declared. This is the uranium hexafluoride production. A UF6 conversion in the dry process. This is that one where the truck came on fire. The licensee declared an alert due to a fire truck outside the protected area that lasted greater than 15 minutes. The truck was awaiting entry to the plant to deliver materials when the truck driver noticed smoke emanating from the dash. He attempted to put the fire out using a handheld extinguisher but was unsuccessful, so he left the vehicle and notified licensee employees. The licensee contracted the Massac County and Metropolis fire departments, who responded to the site and put out the fire. The cab of the truck is considered a total loss, but the trailer was not affected by the fire and remains intact. The licensee is awaiting clearance from the fire department to enable them to take swipes of the trailer to verify no contamination exists. This is an update from Sean Patterson at Howie Crouch at 2216 CDT. The licensee declared all clear for the event when the swipes taken on the trailer did not indicate a spread of contamination. We got by just on the hair of our chinny chin chin on that one. So, what caused a fire in a truck that was delivering uranium? Like, this is not just, oh, there was a fire. We need to figure out how that happened. Trucks don't just catch on fire. So ridiculous. Okay, here we are at 51421. Let's see, this is reactor power non-emergency accident mitigation. High pressure coolant injection inoperable due to MGU failure. This is interesting. During surveillance testing of the U2 high pressure coolant injection system, which is they name it HPCI. The HPCI motor gear unit, which is that what they're calling MGU, don't you love these acronyms? The HPCI motor gear unit was positioned from 100% to 75% demand to satisfy operability testing. The motor gear unit did not respond as a system demand, as system demand was returned to 100%. This indication of a failure of the motor gear unit, which requires declaration of inoperability of the high pressure coolant injection system. This is a 14-day LCO. Here they go again with the acronyms. HPCI is a single train system and a reportable under SAF 1.9 event notification that could have prevented fulfillment of safety function. So what that means, folks, is that if you live near Dresden, Illinois, where this is at a power reactor, they have a motor gear unit that is not responding, and it's inoperable. And that was declared 924. So if something happens there, guarantee they probably won't tell you. This is considered non-emergency. They were testing some equipment that doesn't work at a power reactor. This is not a small thing. This is a potential seriously bad problem. Okay, let's move on to the next one. Power reactor in St. Lucie, Florida. Non-emergency again, valid specification systems actuation, 924. Let's see, on September 17th, 2015, at 12:22 hours, with Unit 2 in Mode 5 at the beginning of a refueling outage, an electrical fault on the 2A 6.9 kV bus resulted in the loss of 2A startup transformer and its associated non-safety related A2A2 and safety related 2A3 buses. At the time of the event, the 2A emergency diesel generator, which they called EDG, had been properly removed from service for scheduled maintenance. The loss of the 2A startup transformer initiated the undervoltage relays, which resulted in a valid actuation signal that would have started the 2A EDG emergency diesel generator. Additionally, the 2A train, a shutdown cooling system. How do you like that shutdown cooling? They call that SDC. Additionally, the 2A train of shutdown cooling was de-energized. The 2B protected train of the shutdown cooling was not affected by the event and remained in service to remove decay heat. A 2A shutdown cooling train was restored and made available on September 19th. Wow, the 2BEDG, what was that again? Emergency diesel generator. And the 2B startup transformer remained operable. Huh. St. Lucie did not report this event within 8 hours of the occurrence. However, the event has subsequently determined to be reportable pursuant to blah, blah, blah. During the event, Unit 1 experienced a loss of 1A startup transformer. There was no effect on Unit 1 operation as its associated non-safety. How do you like that? Associated non-safety and safety-related buses remained powered by the auxiliary transformer. The 1A startup transformer returned to service on September 18th, 2015. Wow. These are big things, people. Like, this is, they're talking about St. Lucie, Florida. These, if any, they're so cavalier about these events. Every week when I read them, I'll be really frank with you, I am still shocked at just the cavalier attitude of these guys. Their whole thing of they can pretty much just create little acronyms, figure out ways to say we didn't do anything, and complete disregard for human life. It's un I'm just nonplussed. I just have not gotten over this yet. Like, I don't know how anybody who even exposes themselves to this information can just walk away from it and just forget that the Nuclear Regulatory Commission not only rubber stamps everything that the nuclear industry wants, they are grotesquely negligent in their oversight in the safety. Grotesquely negligent. I think what I'm going to do on Wednesday and on Friday, I'm going to dig up the names of the NRC people and we're going to start saying their names out loud. We're going to start talking to them and demanding that they be human beings instead of greedy bastards. So on, let's see, September 24th, what day was that last week? That was just last Thursday in Grand Gulf, Mississippi, at the power reactor. They had a non-emergency event, a loss of commission, ASMT response. Okay, we get to see what these acronym means. And I think what happens is that every single power plant, I think they just copy the information on the NRC pages, because I've noticed each one of them reports slightly differently. Loss of sirens due to loss of power. So if you are seriously, if you're in Grand Gulf, Mississippi, and something happens there, you are going to be super screwed. They are so not going to tell anybody down there that they're having major bad problems. So let's see what it says. On August 14th, 2015, the Grand Gulf Nuclear Station determined that less than 75% of the population in the 10-mile EPZ, emergency protection zone, no doubt that's what that means, they didn't tell us, could have been notified using the alerts notification system, the sirens. Less than 75% of the population in the 10-mile zone, in the emergency zone, would have been notified. This condition existed between the period time starting at after 1800 CDT on Friday, July 31st, 2015, and until 1630 on Monday, August 3rd, 2015. So we have July 31st, the 1st, the 2nd, and the 3rd. Wow. So for 4 days, there was a complete loss of power. The completion of this notification was delayed because at the time of discovery, the available information and built-in system redundancy supported a conclusion that greater than 75% of the population could have been notified using the siren system. The diversity of the systems required repairs and testings to be coordinated with officials in both Mississippi and Louisiana. At 1000 CDT hours on August 3rd, 2015, GGNC was informed, that's the Grand Gulf Nuclear Station, was informed that the Claiborne County Emergency Operations Center siren activation equipment had lost power over the weekend. Investigations and repairs were initiated by Claiborne County Emergency Management upon discovery. The system was repaired and functional at 1630 hours, August 13, 2015. The license reported that 30 of 42 sirens lost power. 30 of 42 sirens lost power. So if you're living near a nuclear reactor, folks, that's the kind of stuff that you need to pay attention to and get actively engaged in understanding who's running it. That's what I would do. I don't live near one, but it is sure a freak out. I don't think I could live near one. So this is updated from David Burrus to John Shoemaker at 12:43 EDT on 9/23/2015. Based on a detailed investigation an apparent cause evaluation performed by Grand Gulf Nuclear Station into the events surrounding the power interruption at the Claiborne County EOC. Entergy has determined that the emergency power source for the Claiborne County EOC was available and would have been manually established by the Claiborne County EOC Emergency Director if the facility was facilitated. Upon discovery of the problem, maintenance was immediately performed on the system to reestablish the normal source of power to the Claiborne County EOC. The maintenance required approximately 8 hours to complete. This maintenance activity required the lockout, tag out of all power normal and backup to the facility. During the period of time that all power was removed from the facility, the pre-established and pre-approved backup notification system was available and would have been utilized to complete the required public notification. Supplement 1 to revision of new Reg NUREG-1022 event reporting guidelines states that the following part proposes that the extended unplanned losses of primary public alerting system, a report would not be required if the FEMA-approved backup alerting system was available and the primary public alerting system was returned to service within 24 hours. This 24-hour cap was put into place to limit reliance on a less capable backup alerting method. However, because some backup capabilities exist, NRC action or awareness is not likely warranted in such scenarios for the loss of primary capability in duration. As a result, a report would not be required. So I guess that's why they said they didn't need to tell us. Wow. I guess this is it's good for me to be reading these, and I hope that it's doing the same thing to you that it does to me. It makes me realize that these people have zero interest in really providing safety to the public. They are completely cavalier about the harm that it causes. We are on event number 51396, and we are still on September 24th. This was South Carolina Division of Health and Environmental Control in Catawba, South Carolina. Catawba, Catawba, South Carolina. What did they say? Fixed nuclear gauge with a stuck shutter. Yay, they fixed something. The licensee provided notification of a stuck shutter on a Berthold model LB7440D fixed device, gauging device discovered while performing a semi-annual shutter check. The device containing 30 millicuries of cesium-137. The device remains mounted to the process piping with no gap available to permit personal exposure to the radiation beam. A licensed contractor has been contacted and will proceed with corrective maintenance on the shutter mechanism within the next 30 days. So, no exposure to any human health. I wonder what this gauge does. I still have not been able to wrangle Shane Russell down so he can explain to me what these shutters do. But I think I'm going to, I have to find someone who can explain how these constant shutters, what these mechanisms do, because obviously they must be in use quite a bit because they break down all the time. Here we are again in Kentucky, Evarts, Kentucky. Maybe that's the same one that we read a little bit earlier. Kentucky Department of Radiation Control. Let me see. 51399. Yes, I believe it is. The failure was previously not reported, but recent inspections performed the facility with that the defect was noted on 310. So we read that one before. Florida Bureau of Radiation, and this is what. Palatka, Florida. Here we go. We're sort of repeating it. 916. We did that one already. Fixed nuclear gauge. If there was, that was the uranium. So let me see what the next day shows us. That's September 23rd. Here we have two reports, 396 and 51393 and 51396. Let's see. NOAA Marine Laboratory. And this is in Miami, Florida. Ruh-roh. Lost or stolen, LNM is greater than 10 times. Lost Hewlett-Packard gas chromatograph, chromatograph, chromatograph. Well, sorry, folks, I'm going to stop saying it because I can't figure out how to say it. So, anyways, well, who cares? I just lost it. Let's see. Is there an update to that one? No. So they really have lost it. The NOAA Atlantic Oceanographic and Meteorological Laboratory, AOML, reported a lost, what do we say that? Nickel 63 source. So this was the same one that we read. The item was disposed to prior to the inventory. Maybe this wasn't the same one. Anyways, the license device is a Hewlett-Packard Agilent Technologies gas chromatograph, model number 5890A, serial number M1827. So if anybody tries to sell you one of these, and you know that that's going to be it, look at the serial number, M1827, containing 15 millicuries of nickel 63 source. It was discovered that the chromatograph was missing after an April 14th. What? It was discovered that the chromatograph was missing after an April 14th inventory. According to several end users of the device, the item was disposed of prior to the annual 2014 inventory. To the best of NOAA's knowledge, the device was disposed of through Unicor and the Federal Bureau of Prisons by a previous property custodian who has since retired from the agency. What? Documentation does not exist for this transfer. Another previous property custodian requested that this item be removed from AOML inventory on 8/4/2014 based on the verbal report from the previous property custodian. Between July 28th and August 19th, 2014, the current property custodian unsuccessfully attempted to contact Unicor, UNICOR, to confirm that this device did get transferred to Unicor. It cannot be confirmed that the device was disposed of via Unicor and is therefore considered lost. What? So let's read this again. This is a Scooby-Doo moment, man. I'm like, I 4/1 two, the event date happened 4/1/2014. We are now over a year later, 9/14. Nice of them to tell us. How sweet of them. But this is actually the shocking part to me, you guys. To the best of NOAA's knowledge, the device was disposed of through Unicor and the Federal Bureau of Prisons by a previous custodian who has since retired from the agency. Documentation does not exist for this transfer. So they reported inventory. This is really completely a shock. I'm nonplussed by this. I will be frank with you. I honestly can't get over it. That totally blew me away. I did not expect this. 9/14. I read through this last night really quickly, but I didn't check it out that it was 8/4/2014. That's over a year old. And whoever it was, this makes me nervous too. The Federal Bureau of Prisons, they're giving some type of a radioactive device to a company without any documents, and it was disposed of through Unicor and the Federal Bureau of Prisons by a previous custodian. So why do they can that just blows me away. That makes me really nervous. I mean, this stuff is not, this is like, these are the foxes guarding the hen house. They are creating scenarios, and I actually really believe that they intentionally lose this stuff so they can create scenarios to allow people to harm our country. This is why I'm shocked. This one really blows me away, guys. As you can tell, I'm a little nonplussed by it. Okay, let's move on to the next one because we've got about 10 or 15 minutes left and I've got two more pages to read. 51396 Resolute Forest Products out of South Carolina, Catawba. Maybe this is the same one. Fixed nuclear gauge with a stuck shutter. Yes, this is that same one on the same date, event notification 914. Licensee provided notification of a stuck shutter. Semi-annual shutter check, yes. Okay, so we read that one. So that is actually very bad. Wow. So 2000, you know, why wouldn't they tell it right away? There has to be some reason that this happened just now. This is really shocking that NOAA is just now notifying the NRC that they lost a gauge. They have no documentation for it. Or nothing. And it was really bad. Okay, let me just stop being shocked. Let me try to move on this one. And we are on the 22nd, which brings us back to last Tuesday. We started this on Monday. So we are at, they have five on Tuesday, 51363, 51387, 51388, 51389, 51390, and 51393. Lenexa, Kansas. I'm certainly getting to know my geography doing this with you guys every week. Part 21 report, Northam irradiation certificate with insufficient margin. Don't you love how they call that? That's hilarious. Okay. Let's see what this says. Oh, they do have an update from Melanie Dirks. Okay, let's read what the report was about. SOR Inc. was notified by Newtherm International that the irradiation certification performed by Steris Isomedics did not meet the additional 10% margin to meet with the requirements of the IEEE 323 due to measuring and test equipment and uncertainties. So they were notified. They said, SOAR is conducting an evaluation to determine whether a defect or failure to comply exists as defined by 10 CFR Part 21. At the conclusion of any evaluation, a customer impacted by this issue will be notified, and the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission will be notified in accordance with 10 CFR Part 21.21. So here is their update after they examined it. Let's see. As a result, corrections were made to the test. SOR 12043R Revision 1 approved 9-8-2015. The uncertainty calculations by the radiation lab used for the qualification program reduced the qualification level from 35 MRAD to 33.8 MRAD. SOR found that there were these three switches potentially affected as shown table one provided with this report. While these switches were shipped before completion of the test report, SOR 14-03-043R Revision 0, it has been established that there was a contractual agreement between SOR and XL Energy Monticello Nuclear Generating Plant that these switches would be equivalent to those to be qualified in a new test report. Also listed are recipients of the original test report, SOR 12043, Revision 1, Table 2, provided with this report. In either case, SOR does not have the capability to perform further evaluations to determine if a safety hazard exists, as the specific customer application and end use is not known by SOR. Since the release of Revision 0 of the test report, SOR has reported certificate of conformance to any 141 series product shipped, citing the 12043R test report, other than the qualification use units for XL Energy Monticello Nuclear Generating Plant. So these are the recipients. Recipients, customer, and the utility name: XL Energy Monticello Nuclear, Progress Energy Brunswick, Entergy Energy, and Pilgrim. In accordance with the requirement of 10 CFR Part 21.21, the customers listed have been notified regarding the issue to allow them to evaluate this deviation or failure to comply to a potential safety hazard. So that's kind of a technical report, folks, but it sounds like what they're saying, this is the hard part, trying to figure out what they're talking about in some of these acronyms, that there are three nuclear power plants with equipment that potentially could affect them, that they don't, could be have faulty equipment, but they don't know because they don't know how they're being used. Wow, we're at 8:50 and I'm just about finished. So here we are. The next one is 51387. This is Longview, Texas, high-tech testing agreement, source disconnected from radiography camera. Again, that a disconnect had occurred and an investigation is in process. The radiography crew was working at a temporary job site in Gainesville, Texas, and the person reporting the event did not have complete information. So, yeah, let's go have somebody report the event who doesn't know anything about it. That's always a good backup. Source activity and details of the disconnect are not available at the time. Oops, you're on a need-to-know basis, and you don't need to know right now, so we'll tell you later. Wow, here we go again. Loss of radioactive material from where? A hospital. Newport Beach, California, event number 51388, California Radiation Control Program, non-emergency. On August 26th, Nordion shipped three packages containing approximately 200 millicuries of yttrium-90 to Hoag Hospital. One of the three packages did not arrive at Hoag Hospital. The radiation safety officer, the RSO, reported that Nordion was contacted on 8/27. That was a month ago, to report one of the three packages had not arrived. Nordion told the RSO they reported this event to the Canadian authority and that commercial shipping company was the responsible party, since Nordion had turned the packages over to the commercial shipping company for shipping. The commercial shipping company, Health Physics Consultant, contacted California. I wonder, that's not in capitals. The commercial shipping company, Health Physics Consultant, contacted California Department of Health, Public Health, Radiologic Health Branch on 9/11. This was the first CDPH, which is that, California Department of Public Health and Radiological Health Branch, learned of the event to report that a commercial shipping company, and commercial shipping company is in parentheses. They're not telling us who that commercial shipping company is, folks. Quite interesting. That a commercial shipping company investigation had identified that the missing package had fallen off of a conveyor belt in the commercial shipping company's Costa Mesa, California sorting facility and landed in a waste container. This information was identified by the commercial shipping company's personnel review of video within their facility. The package was not noticed to have fallen into the waste container, and the waste container subsequently emptied into a larger trash receptacle by a cleaning crew. The larger trash receptacle was picked up for disposal to a local landfill. The half-life of yttrium-90 is 64 hours. So half-life, that puts it, I don't know, like what, a month? That's when it will really stop doing its harm. In the meantime, it's sitting in a dump site. 200 millicuries. So it just, then, this is really, what's really actually shocking about this report is the protection of FedEx. I mean, it probably is FedEx. It's got to be one of them, FedEx. If it was the United States government, they'd say the post office. The commercial shipping company, in parentheses throughout the whole report, they did not say the name of the company who fucking lost radioactive material. That's bullshit. I call bullshit on that one. We're at 8:54, and I think I've got two reports left, 51389, in Colorado, Brighton, Colorado, Colorado Department of Health considered a non-emergency industrial radiography camera source disconnect. At the time, the licensee went out and retrieved the source according to procedures for source retrieval. The source was successfully retrieved and no overexposure was reported. So again, faulty equipment, and I think we have a couple more. Oh my gosh. 51390, New York City of Rad Health. The licensee is not provided. Oh, again, we're on a need-to-know basis. Sorry, you don't need to know about this one, but we'll tell you something happened, but we're not telling you who it is. This is a shock. This'll wake me up. For God's sakes, read these freaking nuclear alerts. That'll definitely get my blood going. Medical treatment dose lower than prescribed. Okay, so that was the event report. Medical treatment lower than dose provided. The licensee is not provided. Oh, Lord. A New York State licensee informed the department, New York State Department of Radiation Health, of patient receiving HDR therapy being delivered in fractionated dose that differed from the prescribed fractionated dose by more than 50%. The written directive called for a vaginal treatment consisting of three fractions of 1050 CGY per fraction. The second of three fractions was scheduled on September 10th. Treatment began as planned with both the AU and the AMP at the console. After successful extension and retraction of the dummy source, it was noticed that the treatment countdown time was increasing instead of decreasing. The source extension was in contradiction to the console, which indicated treatment terminated, although the source extension warning light also activated near the console. Holy crap. Well, you know, anybody that allows them to put any kind of radiation up there, what's it? I don't know about the safety of that person's mind. That is something I don't think I would ever agree to. Two EMPs engaged in the emergency stop, terminating the treatment and retracting the source to a shielded position. Surveys of the patient and the HDR unit verified that the source was returned to the shielded position. These people, I do not know how these people can live with themselves. This is fucking, excuse my language, but Mengele. Like, let's just use everybody as science experiments. The patient received an estimated dose of 105 CGY. The patient was informed of the event and no further patients that day were treated. Thank God. Oh my gosh. We have one more left and I'm sorry I didn't get it. Oh, it's the lost Hewlett Packard. So we are on the last minute of our show today. You guys, these nuclear alerts end up taking quite a bit of time just to go through them. And I want to thank everybody for listening to our radio show. Please do go to the NRC website and voice your opinion that, you know, find the comment section and make a comment about the, we definitely need every single person to make sure that we keep the NRC at least measuring the radiation. And get to know your people that are running the boards of your utility boards. Put your courage feet on, you guys, because these people, as we have seen today, could care less about the risk to human life or life on our planet. So, ciao, you guys. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk with you soon.